Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Thank you for tuning in to the Dean Show. We got a special guest all the way from Sydney, Australia. When we come back here on the Dean Show, don't go anywhere.
This is the Dean Show. 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 This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of the Almighty Creator be with you, Sheikh Shawdi Sulaiman. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us all the way from Australia.
Yes, Sydney, Australia.
How far is that from Melbourne?
1,000 kilometers.
MashaAllah, how's the weather down there?
Alhamdulillah, we're finishing from summer. We are going into winter now, so it's getting a bit cold.
We see a lot of kangaroo fighting going on. Have you ever seen any of these?
Yeah, seeing kangaroos, and not in the city, obviously. Once you leave the city, it's very common.
So tell us, we also see a lot of people on the mainstream news there in Australia. Many people are coming to Islam. Are you witnessing this?
Alhamdulillah. We see many new Muslims, a lot of non-Muslims entering Islam, and there's a number of new Muslims. In particular, in my center is hosting one of the largest congregations of new Muslims. We average about 2 to 3 people a week. 2 to 3 people a week embracing Islam, and alhamdulillah, that's by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this shows that the more attacks there is on Islam, the more people are becoming more vigilant and aware on Islam.
Now tell us, you said something in Arabic, and the Dean Show is really known for simplifying things. So you said an Arabic word, you said Allah. We have a lot of not yet Muslims out there who are tuning in, and maybe they tune in for the first time and they're hearing this Arabic word Allah. When you say Allah, when we say Allah, what do we actually mean?
We mean Allah as God, known as the English word, the Almighty God, the one that we surrender and worship, who is our creator, our maker, our master, our Lord, the one that has rights upon us, the one that created us from the beginning, which he has no beginning, has no end. And that's what the word Allah means. Allah is the only one. No one is like him. No one looks like him. No one resembles him. He is above his creation. And that's why the word Allah means so much. As much as we know of it, the reality of it is greater than what we really know.
That's amazing to see, because we have so many people here acknowledging what's in their very nature, that there is a creator, and that creator is one and alone worthy of worship, and that is defined in obviously this word Allah. It doesn't resonate now that people are moving away from worshiping men, money, the creation, to worshiping the creator, and that's amazing. We're seeing it. We're talking to you all the way from Australia, and you're seeing that over there. We're seeing that here. What's so unique about Islam that people are running to it, even with all the negative stereotypes?
What's so unique about Islam, brother? Islam is a way of life. The reality is we live in life. And the reality is many of us don't know how to live life in their life. And that's why you find their life many of the times is miserable. There's sadness, depression, distress. Even though they might have a lot of money, a lot of fame, a lot of prestige, a lot of influence and power. But the truth is, and the reality is, and if you speak to those people with a lot of money and fame and power and prestige and influence, they'll tell you they're not happy. They'll tell you they haven't tasted the essence of life. But the moment they connect themselves to the Creator and the Maker, they start realizing that there is something greater to life than just worshipping money or trying to earn money or trying to earn, you know, influence or acquire fame and so on. And that's why the moment you surrender yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the guidance of Allah azza wa jal, you start tasting the reality of happiness. You start tasting the reality of why you really live in this world. Because there's a very simple question that we've managed to figure out about everything around us except ourselves. What's the purpose of the existence of this object? What's the purpose of existence of this thing? But then it comes to myself, what's the purpose of my existence? And then it becomes a very complex question to many people who are out of Islam. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear to us. The purpose of our existence is to worship Allah. And believe me, my brother, the worst thing that you could ever do to yourself is not to figure out why you exist. If you figure out why everything around you exists, but you don't even know why yourself exists, and then you start realizing, then you know what? What am I here for? And that's why if you don't know your purpose in life, then you don't know why you live here. You don't even know how to live here. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran al-Kareem through our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to answer these simple questions. Why do you exist? And the moment you find out why you exist, then you start looking into life from a very, very different angle and a different way. And that's why you start realizing and you start tasting the beauty of life from the moment you start worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We know that Jesus, peace be upon him, he was sent by God. He ate, slept, prayed to God. And this would obviously, you know, anyone using their common sense, this would prove that he was indeed a messenger of God. But now somebody we had recently on the Twitter, they said that they were told personally, he said, I was told personally I was his son. I respect your faith, but I believe him first, meaning God. Now this is not the first time, and anybody who's been in the Dawah field, people say, look, I've seen God. Jesus came to me in a dream, told me these things. So when you come up with a lot of times we want to dismiss it, but how would you answer that if someone told you, look, God came to me personally and told me these things?
Now, see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the beauty of Islam, Islam is a natural religion, which means it corresponds to your natural instinct, and it's also a very common sense religion. It doesn't make sense that God himself has a son, because if Jesus is the son of God, that means God had begun this son. That means this son has a beginning, which does not comply on God that God has a beginning. He cannot worship someone that has a beginning, because if someone has a beginning, then someone that began it. And the concept that Christians believe in, that Jesus is the son of God, well, okay, what makes him to be God and he's worshipping another God? How could God worship another God? And the reality is we experience a lot of Christians, and I'm very, like, honest, I really feel very sorry for this particular denomination of people, because once you ask them, what's Jesus to you? And then they cannot even give you a straight answer. Sometimes they tell you he's God, and sometimes they tell you he's the son of God, and sometimes they tell you he's the prophet and the messenger of God. Then that makes it very impossible, you know? Because when you ask them, to whom was Jesus worshipping? Then they say he was worshipping God. Then why would God really need to worship God? That's something that's rejected common sense. And why would God need to have a son? And that son, why would he, you know, and why would God even sacrifice his son? So these questions, at the end of the day, deep inside, your common sense and intellect rejects the concept to believe that God has a son, or God worshipped God, or God sacrifices God. At the end of the day, in Islam, is very simple. We believe Allah in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's the only and one almighty God. And that's why you find your natural instinct corresponds to that and accepts that so easy. It's like when I say to you, 1 + 1 = 2. But if I told you 1 + 1 = 5, then you start realizing that there is something in your mind that says, hold on a sec, that's not accepted.
So one, that's it, leave it alone. No additives or preservatives, just one God, that's it.
One God, very simple, very easy, and every single human being will realize that's what their natural instinct accepts, nothing else.
We're going to take a break and we'll be right back with more of our special guest all the way from Australia here on The Dean Show. Take that simple step that you ask your maker to guide you, that he'll guide you?
Yes, I advise this a lot so for people who are searching. Put your head on the floor in the state of prostration, like all the prophets did, and ask the creator of the universe to show you the way, to guide you to the straight path. And someone who sincerely asks for guidance, subhanAllah, they'll find it in Islam.
That's it. Back here on the Dean Show, tell us, Sheikh, what's this abbreviated when you say from Australia? Do they call people from Australia Aussies? What's an Aussie?
Okay, Aussie is like another abbreviation or nickname to the Australians, Aussies. Like, you know, the Americans, maybe they call them Americans, I don't know another name, but Australians are known to be called as Aussies.
Aussies, beautiful. Okay, tell us now, can you describe to us, okay, we cleared that up without any ambiguity. Jesus, peace be upon him, he called people to worship, not himself, but the one God. Abraham, he was neither a Jew or a Christian, but he was one who submitted to the will of God. Cleared up. Moses, same thing. Last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They all called people to worship not themselves, not saints, not idols, icons, sticks, stones, or bones, but just the one God. And they also came with glad tidings. Obviously, you know that if you obey God, you're going to get to paradise. But if you follow your lusts and desires, you live a heedless life, you forget about your responsibilities and your purpose, the hellfire. So briefly, can you describe to us this beautiful place of paradise so people can get a little bit more motivated, just in short? And then also, then we'll talk about the hellfire a little bit. Can you go ahead and start with the paradise, please?
Yes, Brother Eddie, as we spoke before, that one of the purposes of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it very clear to us as Muslims, that there's another world after this world. And it's from the justice of Allah. And once again, it is from the adl and the justice of Allah that people in this world live their different lives. People who obey Allah and people who disobey Allah. People who do good, people who do bad. It's injustice that at the end of the day, the good people and the bad people end up in one hole and there is no accountability. There is no judgment. And that's why in the hereafter there is accountability and judgment, where Allah Azza wa Jalla will judge. The righteous people shall enter the paradise as a reward and a merit to them. The unrighteous or the unpious people shall be punished in the hellfire for their bad sins and good deeds, for their bad sins and bad deeds. So the righteous people shall enter somewhere where it's called a paradise, the Jannah, known to us as the Jannah. Jannah in Arabic means a beautiful place with beautiful gardens. The paradise is an amazing place. A place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had described in the Quran al-Kareem, mentioned to us in many verses in the Quran al-Kareem, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned his hadith. It is enough said that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he says, Allah says, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِي مَا لَا عَيْنُ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنُ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. I had prepared for my righteous servants where no eyes had seen, no ears had heard of, or not even a mind can contemplate. You know, imagine a place that sometimes you dream of, so beautiful, so amazing, you know, so gorgeous. And then as much as you imagine of that place, Allah is saying to you, the paradise is even nicer. The paradise is even better. So you could sit down and imagine the unimaginable. You could sit down and think of this place of rivers flowing from beneath it, beautiful palaces made out of gold and silver, and imagine these palaces so big, so humongous. Allah is saying to you, whatever you imagined of, the paradise is even nicer. The paradise is even better. Now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says in this hadith, لَمَوْضِعُ صَوْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَةِ وَمَا فِيهَا. If you place a stick in the paradise, the area and space that the stick had occupied in the paradise, it's better than this whole world and what's in it. So you could imagine, you know, like if you want to say a square meter in the paradise, it's better than this entire world and what's in it. What's in the paradise? Beautiful gardens, beautiful trees, beautiful palaces. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, palaces made out of not the normal brick that we have, that you pay 20 cents for, but palaces made out of bricks, bricks out of gold and silver. Bricks made out of gold and silver. Can you conceive and comprehend a palace made out of bricks of gold and silver? This is what Allah had prepared for the people who obey Him and worship Him. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obeyed for the righteous people in the paradise. Rivers flowing from beneath it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had described not only that, but you live in there forever and ever and ever. You don't have to think about you getting older. You don't have to think about you getting ill. You don't have to think about you getting fatigued and tired. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prepared for you in the paradise and ever infinity and eternal life in the paradise. So this is the abode of the people of the paradise. And obviously, as much as we talk about the paradise, we would never speak about the reality of it and grasp the reality of it until we enter it. I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from amongst those who enter the paradise bi-idhnillah.
Shaykh, tell us now the flip side to that. Obviously, all of us want to enter the paradise, so we want to do the best that we can to please our Creator before we meet our Creator. But now for the flip side, just we got a couple more minutes before we go to break. Tell us, for those people who transgress the limits now, they set up partners with God, you know, they do things that displease God, there's a place called hellfire. We want to avoid it, so maybe some people get a little bit, you know, more motivated to avoid a place when they know a little bit more about it. Can you tell us about the hellfire? We got 2 minutes.
So now going back to the flip side, wal-iyadu billah, that ask Allah to protect us from it, it is the hellfire, a place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prepared for those who disobeyed Him, those who disbelieved in Him, those who transgressed, those who did the bad and evil actions, a place where people will enter, they'll be punished day and night. They should never live. Each time they die, they should come back alive and then die, and come back alive and then die, and then come back alive and then die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will burn and torture them in the hellfire for their transgression, for their evil doings. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "Inna hereafter, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges people in the hereafter, the hellfire should be dragged by 70,000 chains. On every chain, 70,000 angels. Imagine it. And it's burning, and it's blazing, and it's boiling, and it's got a head that will speak. And what does it say? It says, Ya Allah, Almighty Allah, I shall torture and burn and punish those who disobeyed you, those who transgressed, those who turned against you, those who neglected you." That's the hellfire. Now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the lowest and the minimum and the smallest punishment in the hellfire is a man that shall stand on two rocks of fire until his brain boils. Like, can you imagine that? Not that I want you to imagine that, but how hot it is. And enough said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the fire, the hottest fire of this world, is only one out of 70 of the hellfire in the hereafter, which means the hellfire in the hereafter is hotter than the hottest fire of this world 70 times. So this is a place for those who disobey Allah, disbelieve in Allah. So I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from those who never enter the hellfire and those who enter the paradise.
We're going to go to break, Sheikh, and we're going to be right back with more all the way from Australia here on the Deen Show. We'll be right back.
So, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say, He, Allah, is one. God is one.
The maker of mankind.
Exactly. Allah is Samad. Allah is self-sufficient. He doesn't need food or drink. He doesn't need to rest on the seventh day. Okay, I really had a problem with that even before I knew anything about Islam. God resting sounds like a weak God.
Yeah.
Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not. He doesn't have any children. Nor is he a child or born of anything or anyone. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And there is nothing co-equal or comparable unto him at all.
Nobody.
Nothing.
Jesus. Nobody. Nobody's comparable to the Creator.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And that right there was in its essence what I believe naturally.
Jihad, often mistranslated as holy war. The word jihad means to struggle. Islam does not preach violence. It does not preach vicious holy war. It certainly does not condone terror and suicide bombing. Islam preaches compassion, tolerance, and justice. Find the truth about Islam. Call toll-free 877-WHY-ISLAM. Order your free copy of the Quran today.
Back here on the Deen Show. And we just spoke a little bit about, in the beginning, Jesus' message, Moses' Abraham's, the last and final message sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They all called people to a believable message, which is to worship one God. They gave glad tidings. We covered of the beautiful rewards of delights of paradise. If you do good, you live a good life. And then for the Hitlers of the world, right, you have the hellfire, those who transgress the limits, and that's complete justice. And tell us now, speaking of death, we have a young brother, 15 years old, Sanel Mehmedovic. He's been on the program before, and he's also now someone that many of the Deen Show fans know about. And we have some sad news, and we wanted to, for the family, get your advice now, because the doctors, they have diagnosed that he's medically dead. He went into cardiac arrest. And basically his brain is dead. So now he's breathing through a tube. And so now if the doctors have determined that he's medically dead, they've done all the tests, the MRIs, there's no blood going to the brain, it's totally dead. What do you do in this situation, Sheikh?
Obviously, first of all, that it's very sad to hear what's happening to our brother, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him quick remedy and healing and recovery, and Allah Azza wa Jalla give his parents patience. You see, brother Eddie, this world is a world of test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah is the one that created death and life to test you to see who are the best of doers. we need to acknowledge and accept the fact that this world is full of challenges, full of obstacles, full of hardships. And Allah Azza wa Jal created that to see those who obey Him, even through the moments of hardships, and those who have patience for Him for His sake, and those who disobey Him and turn away from Him. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says something, and this is inshaAllah to the family. Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says something amazing. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. The character and the matter of the believer is amazing. إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءَ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. When Allah grants him something good and beneficial, what does he do? He thanks Allah Azza wa Jal for it. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءَ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And when harm... when harm befalls him, what does the believer do? He has patience for the sake of Allah. So when harm befalls me, whether with me, myself, or someone from my close family members, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see how patient I am. How patient I am. Do I have sabr for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal? And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was amazed to that character of the believer, that when something good comes to him, he thanks Allah Azza wa Jal for it. And when something harmful befalls him, he has patience for the sake of Allah. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, وَمَا ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. This type of character, that something good comes to him, he thanks Allah for it. Something harmful befalls him, he has patience. Nabi ﷺ says, this is the character of the believer and only believer. So these are the times that Allah tests us through our souls, through our children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see one thing. And Brother Eddie, one thing. What's your reaction? What's your reaction when Allah Azza wa Jal tests you with yourself, with your family? What do you do? When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam saw an elderly woman grieving and crying over the death of her son in front of his grave. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood beside her and he said, have patience. So she turned at him and she said, leave me alone. You don't know what hit me and strike me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked away. So the companions from far saw the reaction of this woman towards the Prophet ﷺ. So they told her, you know, you just spoke rudely to the Prophet ﷺ, not knowing that it was the Prophet ﷺ. So she went looking for the Prophet ﷺ, seeking his forgiveness. Anyway, Nabi ﷺ said something very, very important. He said, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. Patience at the beginning of your reaction. What do you do when you first hear about this bad news? What's your reaction when you are struck with this bad news? Do you say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, I accept Allah's destiny and decree upon me? Or you react severely and you react aggressively, that you don't accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written upon you. So we say to the family, have patience inshaAllah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshaAllah will reward you according to your patience. And at the same time, know that everything is in the hands of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that gives remedy and recovery. Allah azza wa jal is the one that grants life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that grants death. And everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we ask Allah azza wa jal to give him quick recovery bi-idhnillah.
Tell us, Sheikh, how, before we go, how important is it? Because many of this young boy, he's 15 years old, and many of the youth nowadays, they're taking their health and they're taking their youth for granted. So you see them running towards doing bad things instead of running towards pleasing their creator. So they're running towards the nightclubs, fornication, you know, alcohol, drugs, and death can come at any time. So in short, how important is it? Because obviously, you know, you go to the graveyard and you have young, old, tall, short, I mean, people dying from all walks of life. So can we heed from this example?
No. There's two things in life. One we know 100%, the other we don't know 100%. What we know is our date of birth, but we don't know when is our date of death. We know when we were born, but no one knows when they're going to die. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, take advantage of five before five. And then he says, take advantage of your life before your death. And then he says, take advantage of your young days before you get old. Now you're young, you're energetic. Utilize that to the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. Utilize that to achieve better in your life. Utilize that to build a better future. Utilize that to expand your paradise and reduce from your hellfire. Utilize that to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before time ends and goes past. And you don't even realize that time went so quick that from being 15, you are now 55. Or being 15, you know you're dead. So take advantage of what Allah Azza wa Jalla had given you. Now you're alive, you're energetic, you could go, you run, you come, you've got all this power and energy. Use it to the pleasure of Allah. Do not use it against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because at the end of the day, every single one of us should regret, and Allah calls upon the believers, when is that time that you're going to wake up? Say, if I'm not going to wake up now, when then? If I'm not going to wake up now, then when am I going to wake up? So my brother and my sister, wake up to yourself and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it's too late. Because once it's too late, then that moment and chance that Allah had given you, you can't get it anymore.
Shaykh, thank you very much for finding the time to be with us here on the Deen Show. God willing, we can have you back again sometime.
It will be my absolute pleasure, inshallah.
Thank you. May we started with peace, we end with peace. Salaam alaikum, peace be with you.
Wa alaikum as-salam and jazakallah khairan to yourself and to the respectful viewers.
Ameen wa yak.
And that was our special guest all the way from Australia. That's right. Forgive us for the little technical difficulties we had with the sound. Now, we talked about the oneness of the Creator, and this just is just common sense. One is one. No additives or preservatives. Leave it alone. Jesus called people to worship one God. He never called people to worship himself. Jesus was sent by God. And he ate and he slept and he prayed to God. That means he was a messenger of God. Nothing more, nothing less. But one who called you away from the hellfire, Jesus did, and towards the paradise and to the purpose of life. And you got that all encapsulated in Islam. So Islam is the belief in all the messengers of God, including Muhammad being the last. And to really take this life seriously, it's a test. And that's why the Quran was sent. So we need to get to know this book, the Quran, so we can live by it, understand it, and so we can pass the test of life. And at the end, we can be successful. And you won't find any other book out there in the world making the astonishing claims as the Quran does. That is indeed from the Creator. The Creator identifies himself. Allah, in Aramaic, Allaha, Allahu, this is the one God that Jesus called upon. And it's very important that we really, really, really take the matter seriously. And we also reminded people through the example of this young brother, Sanel, who's 15 years old. And you can see right now that he's been classified as medically dead. And this can happen to anybody. You know, who's guaranteeing you tomorrow? The only thing you're guaranteed for tomorrow is death, that you're all going to die. It can happen today, it can happen tomorrow, it can happen next month, it can happen this second. So be prepared by doing good, living a good, wholesome life. And there's nothing in Islam, in this way of life from the Creator, that goes against your very nature, that's against humanity as a whole. Everything in it is good, calls you to good. And at the end, you live a good, wholesome life, and at the end, you got paradise. You got paradise. So many benefits, and all these benefits are for you to benefit from in Islam. Get to know it. Call us at 1-800-662-ISLAM. We'll see you next time. God willing, until then, peace be unto you.